Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, finally today, that's music, of course, from the classic 1972 film Mario Puzo's The Godfather.
Well, when Johnny was first starting out, he was signed to this personal service contract. And as his career got better and better, he wanted to get out of it. My father made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
What was that?
Luca Brasi held a gun to his head, and my father assured him that either his brains or his signature would be on the contract.
Al Pacino as Michael Corleone, Diane Keaton as Kay Adams. It's so famous, I bet you're already quoting great lines from the film. Well, Godfather fans, get this. The late Mario Puzo wrote the novel that the movie's based on, of course. And right now, in the North End, a true treasure trove of Puzo's personal papers are up for auction. Now, we never try to typecast folks here, but we sent Radio Boston's Jamie Bologna to check it out.
Marlon Brando won the Oscar in 1972 for his portrayal of Don Corleone in The Godfather. But one of the first things that amazed me when I got to the RR auction house in the North End was that Brando almost didn't get the chance to play that iconic role.
I have a letter that Puzo sent to Brando that tells you that Brando was out, wasn't even going to get the part. It's mind-blowing.
That's Bobby Livingston, executive vice president of RR, which is auctioning thousands of pages of Puzo's notes, scripts, and source materials for the iconic Godfather book and films. Puzo died in 1999, and now his family is looking to sell his archives, some 45 banker boxes of materials spanning his entire life. Here's Puzo 3 years before his death speaking with NPR's Terry Gross about that Brando letter and the decision to cast him as Vito Corleone.
I wrote him a letter, and he called me up, and we had a chat, and then I tried to get Paramount to take him, and they refused. And then when the director came on the picture, I talked to the director, Francis Copeland. He managed to talk Paramount into letting Brando play the role.
And there's evidence of this fight in the archive. A letter from Puzo to Brando saying, it's over. He wasn't getting the part.
Dear Marlon, talk to Paramount and to the producer, Al Rudy. Seems to have other ideas, so unless you have read the book and want to use your muscle, I guess that's it. Wow. I'm sorry I wasted your time. I still think it was a good idea, and thanks for taking the trouble to call and talk to me. Oh my goodness.
That's Scott Thompson. He's a professor of film and director of the screenwriting program at Boston University. And yeah, he's surprised because, like most people, he'd never gotten this kind of insider glimpse into Mario Puzo's process. Bobby Livingston files through the boxes and pulls out another gem for us to look at.
One of the things that we have here is we have Mario Puzo's typewriter with the bell and the you know, I'm not gonna operate it for you, but it's operational and it rings and dings and you can hear him slamming on those keys as a writer would.
The collection includes much of that work typed on that typewriter and handwritten on faded yellow paper in red ink, blue ink, black ink, crossed out and scribbled all over the page. It shows how Puzo and Coppola collaborated and hammered out some of the film's most famous lines. Here are Livingston and Professor Thompson again.
And maybe you can tell the story of the line where Clemenza in Godfather 1, when that famous line where it's, leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Oh my goodness, I was hoping you could ask me what my favorite line was, because that is it.
So what's fantastic is the actual wife of the actor who played Clemenza on the set suggested that take the cannoli should be the line that would be in the movie. And you can see here's the final script, 84, and it just says, leave the gun. But she adds that line, and Clemenza, he adds the line that becomes world famous.
I'm going now.
What time are you going to be home tonight?
I don't know, probably late.
Don't forget the cannoli.
Yeah.
They just killed Polly, and he comes back to the car and remembers that my wife told me to get cannolis. I'd rather not deal with the wrath of my wife, if I don't remember the cannolis. So he reaches over the body to get the cannolis out of the car.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
And so that idea of juggling this, awful murder against the family man. You know, I think his line before that is, watch out for the kids when you're backing out, as they're bringing Polly out to kill him. So they're constantly juggling these two worlds, and it gives us who Michael Corleone is in this story. He's a character that's pulled between those worlds. He starts out as the civilian and arcs all the way towards the mafioso.
And for me, and maybe RR's Bobby Livingston, there's a scene in the movie that symbolizes perhaps the quintessential mob killing in a movie.
Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Oh.
Here's the typed manuscript, and you can see Coppola's making annotations, and then Coppola goes, what the hell is that? And it says, cut to Luca Brasi at the bottom of the ocean floating. Oh. But you never see that shot, right?
Well, the guy at the gates, they said they got a package.
Yeah? Oh, hey, Tess, you go see what it is. Try Luca again. Go ahead.
What we end up seeing in the scene is a dead fish wrapped in Luca Brasi's bulletproof vest.
What the hell is this?
That's a Sicilian message. It means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
BU Scott Thompson points out another find in the Puzo archive, a copy of Coppola's Directing Bible. It's a massive three-ring binder which includes directions on motivation, torn-out pages from Puzo's novel, and notes on inspirations.
One of the most fascinating things about this is he also made up a list of places he could screw up, things that could go wrong. What could I do to ruin this scene? And the only scene that I know of that he said that there's almost nothing you could do to ruin the scene was the scene at Lou's Diner where he was going to kill McCluskey and Salazzo.
Steve Saria.
Not Coppola, Michael Corleone. That scene, he's basically made a note, you can't mess this one up.
Professor Thompson says the kind of deep research and preparation that is seen in the Puzo archive is what made the Godfather film so powerful. The collection is an intimate window into that collaboration between Coppola and Puzo. Here they are in the 1990 documentary The Godfather Family, a look inside, discussing their scriptwriting process.
I did the screenplay, the first draft of it, and then contacted Mario, and then the two of us worked on it together and arrived at what was the script that we would use. But it was very, very close to the book, and that was my desire.
We wrote separately. He sent his stuff to me, I sent my stuff to him, and he made the final decision on what would be in there.
And much of that back and forth between Coppola and Puzo is included in this collection of papers. Livingston says the auction house initially wanted to break the thousands of pages apart into a Godfather the novel section, Godfather 1, Part 2, and sell it piece by piece.
Then as we sat down and analyzed this work, we realized, well, gee, this archive has to stay together. And whoever buys it, hopefully will keep it together and allow students and allow historians to examine it. It's a whole new novel on the making of The Godfather. The source material is all here.
Yeah, well, I told my wife that I was going to come here. She said, you can't come back with 45 boxes. So we'll forget my daughter's education and we'll have this collection instead.
Bobby Livingston expects those 45 boxes to go for around $400,000. So while Professor Thompson won't take the archive home with him tonight, someone else might make the Puzo family an offer they can't refuse.
I want you to rest well, and a month from now, this Hollywood big shot's going to give you what you want.
Too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Oh, we could not resist. Radio Boston's Jamie Bologna there speaking with Bobby Livingston, Executive Vice President of RR Auction in Boston, and Scott Thompson, Director of BU's screenwriting program. They were talking about the Mario Puzo archive and auction. And if you want to bid on the Puzo collection tonight, head over to radioboston.org for a link to the auction. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.